This is Jerry Pippin, and we're with Paul Davids, and we are at the UFO Congress.
Yeah, they call us a Congress. I mean, we're not voting on anything, you know.
I guess originally you're the first member. You ought to know. Sent you a ballot?
I suggested a different name, you know, because Congress does nothing. Everybody knows. They sit around. They debate things. They don't even debate things, actually. They won't even bring up flying saucers in Congress. They can't even pronounce the word UFO.
Yeah. You got a good point there.
Look, when something doesn't exist, you don't discuss it, right?
Speaking of things that don't exist, you did the Roswell
movie,
and it's still available, isn't it?
Yes, for a limited time, we might say. You know, the movie I did, Roswell, is not to be confused with the television series Roswell, which coincidentally has the same name. They came up with that name after our film was a big success, and. Our film was made for Showtime Channel originally. It has Martin Sheen in it and Dwight Yoakam, Kyle MacLachlan. It's been on TV, you know, probably 100 times. So, but this is the year, since this is the 60th year of the Roswell incident, this seemed to be an appropriate year for the powers that be who own my film to pull it off the market.
They did.
Yeah, not available. Not available anymore. Maybe they were afraid that they would sell some. I did buy up.
They have to pay you some.
I bought up the remaining stock, you know, and I supply it to the museum in Roswell. But when we run out, there's going to be no more Roswell. That'll be a sad day.
It's getting close.
Yeah, that'll be a sad day.
Well,
because our movie told the story of the Roswell incident the way Jesse Marcel, the intelligence officer who was involved with the initial recovery, the witnesses, the military people who were there, who spoke out after a long period of time and said, you know what, it really happened. Aliens did come down at Roswell. We did recover that technology. And people have asked me many times, you know, do you believe it or are you just a movie producer, you know, out to make a buck? And I have to say, I believe it.
Now, there's a new book coming out.
There's a really good book coming out.
And the name of the book is, which I just mentioned. That's an edit, by the way, Jane.
The authors of the new book, Don Schmidt and Tom Carey, have been researching the Roswell incident for a very long time. As a matter of fact, Don Schmidt wrote the earlier book about Roswell, called UFO Crash at Roswell, a 1992 or 1993 book that we based our film on. The film rights actually came from Don's book. He hasn't given up after all these, you know, these next almost 15 years. And Don followed up on the Roswell case in a way that no other researchers did. You see, the former Secretary of the Air Force, Sheila Widnall, when they came out with those less than perfect reports about Roswell in the late 1990s, about the crash dummies and the Project Mogul balloons and all these other new explanations for how to explain away the Roswell case. Sheila Widnall, a Secretary of the Air Force, made a pronouncement at that time saying that any of the elder statesmen soldiers from 1947 who'd been in the military then, who interpreted that they were constrained from talking because of some sort of secrecy oath, were hereby freed from their secrecy oath and were free to offer testimony and to talk. Don Schmidt and Tom Carey sought out a number of the old soldiers who had refused to talk up to that point and convinced them they really had been freed from their security oath. And so we've got a lot more testimony now. We always had a great deal, but the new testimony from people who were directly involved fills in the missing pieces and supports the contention it was an alien crash.
They really were officially released so they could talk.
Yes, that's correct.
That material is in the book.
Yes.
And you made...
I wrote the foreword to it, by the way. They asked me to write the foreword, and I mean, what I what I thought a lot about what I was going to say in this forward, and I had recently bought a new vacuum cleaner. Now, this is important because this Hoover vacuum cleaner advertises that it has this new wind tunnel technology that sucks up the dirt, you know, and puts it in the dirt cup. And what I had to say about the new Roswell book is that it really sucks up the dirt and it puts it in the dirt cup. And the government's story, false story about the Roswell incident, their carpet gets quite a cleaning now in this new book.
So you're quite high on this book. You've
Don Schmidt and Tom Carey have done a great job.
Very well, and
yes,
they've done a great job.
Yes.
And once again, the name of the book is... Okay, Jane, we're putting in the name of the book.
It may be called Roswell Investigator, but I'm not sure.
Okay. We'll find out.
They keep changing it.
We've got a few more minutes here, Paul. What are you working on now? I mean, first of all, you got a third DVD here. What's that about?
Oh, Timothy Leary's dead. This was
I've heard that.
This was a film that I did in 1996, toward the end of Timothy Leary's life. He died in 1997. Yes, of course, he's in the film.
Yeah.
The film was done with his blessing, and it recapitulates his amazing life.
The reason I'm such a success, I ask dumb questions. Naturally he's in the film. Go ahead.
The reason I'm such a success is that I know how to answer dumb questions.
Right.
Well, Timothy Leary was the American philosopher and psychologist who was responsible in large part for the psychedelic movement of the 1960s, the proliferation of the interest in the psychedelics such as LSD. And he ended up in Folsom Prison. I mean, he got a 10-year sentence against him for possession of 2 joints of marijuana. This all happened when he was running for governor of California against Ronald Reagan. And Richard Nixon dubbed him the most dangerous man alive. And I got to tell his story.
It should be the other way around.
I think so. With the title, Timothy Leary's Dead, actually comes from the words of a Moody Blues song.
Okay.
That declared Timothy Leary dead many years before he actually died. And by that they meant that they thought he was becoming passé, but of course he wasn't.
when we talk about movies and your career, you were entitled to go to the Academy Awards. Did you make it this year?
I sure did make it to the Academy Awards.
And what did you think of it this year? Give us a little report.
I thought it was a really good show. I loved Ellen DeGeneres' hosting of it. I thought she did a really good job, and I thought that the awards were well decided and well deserved. You know, for the most part, I was so happy that Martin Scorsese was finally recognized best director, best film, and that was best screenplay too for The Departed. I loved Little Miss Sunshine. That was recognized, and Forrest Whitaker for The Last King of Scotland, playing Idi Amin. What a brilliant choice. What a brilliant performance. I mean, everyone must see that film about that tyrant dictator of Uganda.
You know, it's on the West Coast, in Hollywood, naturally, so it starts early.
Yeah.
So for the TV audience on the East Coast.
Yes.
So the ambience of the whole thing... I remember years and years and years ago when Bob Hope used to do it late at night. You know, on the East Coast, we had to stay up at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
Or 11. What I'm getting at is it still a glamorous thing? Probably more glamorous.
Oh, right? I think so.
Yeah,
you know,
because of the TV.
Well, all of the starlets spend so much attention to, you know, their dresses. And for us guys, you know, we just go as penguins. We put on our our black monkey suit.
Yeah, I was starting to say, what did you didn't have a special designer?
No special designers. No, I'm pleased to say that I could still fit in my tuxedo.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, every year goes by, there's always a couple more pounds.
At least you had one. You didn't have to rent.
No, I gave up renting a long time ago because I go to too many of these Hollywood soirees. Hey, listen, I wanted to tell your listeners before we wrap up. My Sci-Fi Boys movie was just nominated for a Saturn Award. The Saturn Awards are given by the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror every year. It's the 33rd annual Saturn Awards. And this was nominated for Best DVD of 2006. That was really quite a thing, considering that it was a small film, and it's quite an important honor. The Saturn Awards are very supported by George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, and all the top people in the fantasy field.
Now, where do they have that at? Do you have any idea where the event will be?
It'll be held in Studio City on May 10th.
So you got to wait around to see.
That's
how
right.
It goes.
And in the meantime, I'm finishing up my latest film, Jesus in India, The Missing Years.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that last year to the fellow who, I guess he's your writer. I don't know.
No, Edward T. Martin?
Yeah.
Ed is actually the featured person in this film as we journey through 4,000 miles of India together, investigating the evidence and the legends of Jesus having been there during the missing years that are unaccounted for in the New Testament.
Now, your theory or hypothesis or whatever that we want to talk about in this movie, the Jesus' tomb in your scenario is in England, I think. I mean, Israel.
No, that's completely wrong.
Okay.
No.
As usual.
Not England at all.
Okay.
No.
It's in India.
Well, give
me a third chance.
That issue... The thrust of the film is that in the four Gospels, there is a sweeping gap of 18 years of the life of Jesus. That, from the point where he's speaking to the rabbi of the temple in Jerusalem, and he's approximately 12 years old, to the point where he's baptized by John the Baptist at the River Jordan, where he's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one sentence in any of the four Gospels that covers those 18 years. The Gospel of Luke says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in favor and stature with God and man. That's not very specific.
No,
we don't know where he was then. We don't know what was taking place in his life. And we don't know why we don't know. We don't know why it's not in the New Testament. But in India, there are legends, there are traditions, there are people who say he was there for part of that time.
Right, the big deal right now, and I was trying to... get around to this thing about finding the tomb underneath the housing development
yes.
in Israel.
Yes, that's a developing 30-year-old story.
Yeah, 27 years ago.
Yeah,
we're just now hearing about it.
27 years ago, and they got around to telling it to us now. Can you imagine... What they're going to tell us about 27 years from now that's just happening today that we have no idea about? I mean, have we already been to Mars?
Well, you may be right. There's a lot of people say that's true. We only have a couple of minutes left, but what I was getting at was I hope it doesn't take 27 years for this movie because this is controversial.
My Jesus in India, Hidden Years, is going to be completed in April. After several years of work, over 100 hours of shooting on that film, and over a year and a half in editing, enormous job, wonderful visually, a great mystery, a great adventure, fabulous music score by Brian Thomas Lambert, who scored the Sci-Fi Boys. I'm really proud of this project and really looking forward to its release. We hope it'll be in theaters, and we hope that'll happen before the end of the year.
We wish you luck on that, and I understand it's quite a dynamic piece already, and you're probably not even finished with the post-production, or are you?
We're very, very close now. The film is what you would call locked, which means the whole picture is
you
done.
You can't go in there and change it. You got to make a decision sometime.
The changes are not being made now. The film is having its music score completed.
Mm-hmm.
First hour, the music is done. Last half hour is being completed now, and then you do what's called post-production sweetening on the picture and the sound. And then you got a film, you make a deal, it gets out, and hopefully millions of people see it, enjoy it, and find something in it to illumine them.
You know, show business is a series of deal makers, really.
Yes.
If you stop and think about it. And you made a big deal today with Fate Magazine.
The deal with Fate Magazine, actually, we made quite some time ago with Fate. We've had these rights under control of Yellow Hat, but the deal... happening now is with the production entity that we will actually, we hope that we will put together dozens of these fate shows. And that's just happening now.
And you can't give me a hand on a network or a syndication venue or anything yet?
Not without getting both of my hands chopped off.
Okay, we don't want to break. You just made the deal, so it would be a deal breaker here. Thanks very much, Paul Davids. It's been good to see you.
Jerry Pippin.
Yeah, right.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show, and I hope some people have found something to enjoy in what we've had to say today.
And they can find these DVDs.
Go to the Internet. Just do a search for the Sci-Fi Boys, Roswell, Timothy Leary's Dead. I've got another one called The Artist and the Shaman. And you could even go after those old Transformers cartoons, for gosh sake, and relive your youth.
Thank you very much, Paul David.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment. Fate. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown.